Blog Talk Radio.
Morning to you, man. Morning to your love. Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. Yesterday we working, can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now. Well, Africa must wake up, the sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. Yesterday we working, can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Welcome to Jeremiah 1:10. I'm your brother Ariel, sitting here with your brother Mariel and your brother Deuel. Starting a new topic tonight, family. New topic is, should we still keep the law or no? And that is a very important topic because of all these different doctrines that we have out here in the world. We have a lot of many doctrines on should we keep the law or should we still be keeping the law or is it still relevant? Because we live over here in the United States, we can't keep the law because you have some Hebrews that say that if we're not in the land, that we shouldn't keep the law. You have some people, brothers and sisters out there, say they Hebrews and say, we don't have to keep the Old Testament or quote-unquote Old Testament. We don't have to keep the law. But we're going to allow the scriptures again tonight to see if we have to keep the law or not. Still have to keep the law. And we're going to go about it a little different route tonight because I know many people have heard this lesson in many ways. And it probably be a two-part, three-part series because we want to dive into this and we want to fine-tune it. We want to break it down to the lowest common denominator so nobody can say we do not have to keep the law anymore. We will open up with a prayer. Abba Yah, we beseech you for your Holy Spirit tonight, Father. We beseech you for your wisdom, Father, that you may fall upon those who are going to speak your word, Father, that you may fall upon those who may hear your word, Father. For those that hear your word, Father, that they not just take our word for it, Father, that they go behind us, that they study, that they pray to you, Father, and ask what it is that they need to be doing. Is what the brother's saying true? May they be studious, Father. May they go in and study your word. May they have a desire to know you first and foremost, Father. Father, we pray for those who can't make it tonight, that you lay upon them a blessing, Father, that you still put your spirit of wisdom upon them, Father, and for those that's in route, Father, that you bring them safely, Father. In Yahushua's name we pray.
Amen.
We're going to open up, because we didn't heard this, we didn't taught about this, are we under the law? Because now the people who only hold on to the New Testament says that we're not under the law. There's a scripture in there that says we're not under the law, but we're under grace. So by the time we finish this, we're going to be able to say, are we still under the law or are we not under the law? But the question the brother put out or the thought that the Creator gave him was, do we still keep the laws of God or not? And Yah had gave me a thought when I was sitting there, and I had to sit down and think about it when I got home. And one of the first thought that he gave to me, should we still do it, is yes. The reason why, without going into the scriptures, is yes, is because he said so. He told us these things that, yes, we should be still doing it. So we're going to go through some scriptures tonight to see where the Father commanded us to keep his word. And we're going to start off in what is the benefit of keeping the law. Is there a benefit to still keeping Yahweh's law today? How does it enhance our lives today? How does it make us better believers in his word today by keeping his law? Do it. So the thought that I got when I read that from the text this afternoon, in what way will keeping the law advance my life? Or what way for me not keeping the law will it take away from my life? And these questions that I believe that all believers should have to ask. Is it a benefit for us to keep the Father's law in these days and times when anarchy is running wild? To live however you feel is on the forefront of social media, inside the television, whatever you look at, whatever source of media that you look at, live however you want to live. That's what's leading today. You your own person. You your own boss. Nobody is the boss of me. So in what way is it a benefit for me to keep the Father's laws? Or is it a benefit? How does it enhance my life? How can I move in this world system and keep the Father's laws as a benefit to me? Will it be a benefit to me, keeping his laws in this world system? So let's start in Deuteronomy 4. And we're going to start at verse 8. Yeah, what's the name of it? Go ahead, Aki. Brother D, you are going to read that for us.
Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 8. And what nation is there so great?
Start at 1, Aki. We're going to read 1, 2, 3. Start from the top. Start. Get the door from the top.
All right. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh, Elohim of your fathers, giveth you.
Right there, Aki. That right there is the sole purpose of every human being on the face of the planet, is to live. And the Creator just told us in Deuteronomy 1:4-1 is to do these law, statutes, and judgments so we may live. That is the first benefit of a human being, by keeping the Father's laws. So there we found already that there is a benefit keeping the Father's laws for those who believe in the Torah. Because that's what we're talking to, those who believe in the word of Yah. I can't run up to an atheist and just outright try to convince him that keeping the Father's law will have him live, will help him to live, when he already will tell me, I'm already living. The Father told me in Ezra to seek those with like minds, those who thirst and hunger after a relationship with the Father. That's what we are talking to. And those who want to come out this world system, that's what we are talking to. Go ahead, Aki.
Verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what Yahweh did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that followed Baal Peor, Yahweh thy Elohim hath destroyed them from among you. But ye did cleave unto Yahweh your Elohim. But ye that did cleave unto Yahweh your Elohim are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yahweh, my mighty one, commanded me. that you shall do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom.
Stop right there. I keep another benefit of keeping the Father's law. It is wisdom to us. It gives us wisdom. And who don't want to be wise in this world system? Don't nobody want to be dumb in this world system. Even if the world promotes dumbness on the television, idioticness on the television, that person do not want to be that in real life. Everybody wants wisdom. Go ahead, Haki.
Therefore, keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has Elohim so nigh unto them as Yahweh, our Elohim, is unto all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day?
Hallelujah. Did we hear that? How we are going to be a great nation, not great in stature, as the other world would want, or other nations would want, but great in wisdom, great in understanding. Again, benefits to keeping the Father's law. And that's what we want to show tonight. We want to show how it is beneficial to the believer to keep his laws. Why? Because in the sight of everybody else in this world system, you could be one of the most uneducated people in the world. But if you hold on to his laws, statutes, and judgments, it will give you wisdom. It will give you understanding. And when you speak to people, they will think that you went into higher learning, that you had a college degree. But if you haven't had a college degree, you don't have a college degree. Why? What you have is Yahweh's laws, statutes, and judgments, and you are abiding by them, and you are not adding to them. You are not taking away from them. I am a living testimony to that. Because when I talk to people, they thought, well, think that I have a college degree. No, I don't have a college degree. I am what the scripture says in the book of Acts, where he shall take the simple and confound the wise. That's me. Those who with the degrees, those who with the letters behind their name. He will take somebody who are what society will call me, a low degree, and confound them and be able to speak on the same level. But what I'm speaking is pure Torah. What I'm speaking is pure word. So it is beneficial to a person if they want wisdom, if they want understanding. All these laws, he said, that he has set before us.
What? Where was that?
All right, the eight.
Eight.
Uh-huh.
Now we're going on to Numbers 15, 14 through 16, family. And we want that. We want to know why it is a benefit, or what benefit it is for us to keep the Father's laws. First and foremost, it will give us life. Secondly, it will give us understanding of this life. See, when you talk to most people out here in the world, and you don't have to use scripture or verse, you don't have to use chapter or verse, but you can talk to them in such a way about life, but you have took from the stories of the word, and you have added them to your life and added to your understanding, and they will look at you like, well, I never looked at it like that. I never thought of it like that. We looked at a teaching the other day by a rabbi, and it was a, and he, I forgot the exact name that he called, but it was about marriage. And to everybody who looked at that, said had the same thing. I never looked at it that way. And he used biblical principles. Granted, he didn't use not one verse, but he used the principles of the Torah. And his conclusion was about marriage. It is a divinely thing. It is a holy thing. It is something that the Father has set up. Man had nothing to do with a marriage. So if you want to get married, if you want to have a wife, if you want to have a husband, you first have to learn who gave marriage and why did he give it. Because if you do it outside of those parameters, you are not actually married. Because you're not giving honor to the one who gave the marriage in the first place. Yah is the one who ordained Adam, the first man, and Hawa, Eve, to get married. He said, get married and be fruitful and multiply. He the one ordained that. That is a law. But you will have millions of people who say they are not under the law, but throughout this world system, they aren't having marriages. Where'd you get that from? Where'd that concept of a man going out and getting a wife come from? It comes from the Creator. But millions are taking part in marriage and not understanding what marriage is. Marriage comes from the Word, comes from the law, which people say we do not have to do no more. Go ahead, Archie. Numbers 15, 14 through 16. We got some brothers out here who will say, just, well, the law is only for Israel. And you got some Hebrews, I mean some quote-unquote Christian brothers and sisters will say, well, you're right. The law is only for Israel. But they want to hold on to the covenant. They want to hold on to this book. Go ahead, Archie.
Numbers 15, 14. And if a stranger sojourn with you, or whosoever be among in your generations, and will offer and firing an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Yahweh, as ye do, so he shall do.
Amen. What does the scripture say? As that Israelite should do, so shall that one who is not a native born Israelite do the same thing with you. If you want to come upon Israel, you have to do the exact same thing. Believer who say we don't have to keep the law, statutes, and judgments, or Israelite who say it's only for Israel, you can go through several scriptures within the Torah. It's in the book of Exodus. It's in the book of Leviticus. I believe it's in the book. If we just read in Numbers, I'm not for sure if it's in Deuteronomy 2. It's in Deuteronomy 2, that one law for the homebound, one law for the stranger. It's in four of these books of what we call the Torah. It's in four. That's more than one witness, if you ask me. That's way more than one witness. Now, if you're trying to say something that gives that, then you're taken away from the law. Then your wisdom and your understanding, you're just due to the side. Because you're not doing what the law say do. That's when we want to do Deuteronomy 30.
So
you go ahead, Archie. You can finish that. I thought you finished that.
Verse 15. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As ye are, so shall the stranger be before Yahweh. One law in one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourns with you.
Amen. Amen. That's word right there.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot go against word, not unless we do not want the wisdom that the Father gave. We do not want the understanding. We do not want those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beneficial to us to keep the laws, statutes, and judgments. Move on to Deuteronomy 30:19, Aki.
Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and thy seed may live.
Should we keep this? If we want the blessings, if we want life, yes, we should be keeping this. Why should we keep this? Because we want the blessings and we want the curses. And before that, Yahweh said so. In another part, he said, I command you choose life. He commanded us to choose life. If you want a relationship with the Most High, you must come the way he asks you to come. You must come that way. Get Ezekiel 11:16, because we know our brothers out here who say we do not have to keep the law, statutes, and judgment only, but only in Israel. That is the only place where we should keep the law, statutes, and judgment. Which that baffles me, because the first Passover wasn't in Israel.
Sure wasn't.
The first Passover was in Mitzrayim, Egypt. And if we know what Mitzrayim spiritually points to, it spiritually points to this world system. So the Father was telling us back in Mitzrayim, if you want my covering, if you want destiny to go over top of you, you must take my Passover. You must do it while you still in this world system, regardless of where you at. Because even if we went back to Israel today, Israel is not put or not standing on the law, statutes, and judgments right now. That government over there, that Israeli government, if we went back there now, they are not living by the law, statutes, and judgments right now. So it don't make a difference where you go at right now in this world system. It do not make a difference where you go at in this world system. But what makes a difference is what this brother is about to read. That's what makes a difference in Ezekiel 11:16. Listen to what the Father said, brothers and sisters.
Ezekiel 11:16. Therefore say, thus saith the Master Yahweh, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come.
What? Now, you have to be a serious brainwashed person who says that no matter where I'm at in this world, if I'm not in Israel, I can't keep the law, statutes, and judgments. Yah said it in Ezekiel, hey, I'm going to break this nation up, and I'm going to send y'all among the heathen, among the Gentiles. But there among the Gentiles, I'm going to be the sanctuary. I'm going to be whatever you need. So if you carry me where among the Gentiles, you carrying my laws, my statutes, my judgment. You carrying all that. Because I'm going to be that for you. But if you reject that, you're going to be just like a Gentile. You will not stand out as an Israelite. Abba said that. Now, I remember posting that on Facebook, and they still try to refute it. They still try to refute that. No, it don't mean that. Well, what does it mean? If the Father already said that he's going to send us among the Gentiles for our disobedience. That was the reason why we went through every captivity, every beatdown that we ever took, every curse that we ever had, is because we did not keep his law, statutes, and judgment. So again, what is the benefit in keeping the Father's laws, statutes, and judgment? Should we still be keeping them? I know. I can hear y'all now, some of you New Testament believers. Oh, Mashiach came and done away with that. You know, Brother Paul, he put all that to bed. But hey, maybe not tonight, but we're going to get there. We're going to get to where you think Brother Paul put that to bed, where you think that Yahushua has fulfilled the law. We're going to get there. Maybe not tonight, though. But we're going to get there. What we're showing tonight is the benefit in keeping his laws, statutes, and judgments. And what happened to us when we did not keep them. Now, one of my questions is, I always had to those who say that they don't keep the laws, statutes, and judgments, is if the Father sent his own kids do so much so they can keep, so they can be obedient to him, and he going to send his only begotten son down here to get beat like that. So you can say, well, I can send all I want now because the only begotten son did that. I don't have to, really don't have to do it now. That don't make sense. Because all the Father was doing was crying out to Israel, please keep my law, statutes, and judgment. Please keep my law, statutes, and judgment. Please keep, look, I didn't send you in Babylon. I didn't send you to the Assyrians. I didn't send you to the Greeks. I didn't send you to the Romans. Hey, I didn't force y'all over here to the cruelest people on the planet Earth. Please keep my law, statutes, and judgment. Nope. And it baffles me when people say you do not have to do that, but they don't understand the benefit and why we're keeping his laws, statutes, and judgments. Let's move on. Let's go and see whatever benefit is there in keeping the Father's laws, statutes, and judgments. Let's go to Daniel 1. We start at verse 5. We're going to read this story about Brother Daniel. Start at verse 5. I keep going down to 15.
Daniel 1?
Yep, 1 verse 5. And there's many stories through the Torah, not just the Torah, through all the books, where it's a benefit in keeping his law, statutes, and judgments.
Before we read that, let me read something.
Go ahead.
Right, click. All right. Just two things. Because it kind of corresponds with this story that we're about to read.
Right.
In Psalms 103, mm-hmm. verse 2,
mm-hmm.
says, bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Amen.
All right? That's
Amen.
The first thing.
Amen.
Second thing, Psalms 116, 12. It says, what shall I render unto Yahweh for all his benefits towards me? Alright?
Amen.
So
Amen.
Take those two verses in mind when we read this.
They,
I got one more verse with.
Go ahead.
I got Psalms 105.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Hallelujah. It is understanding. It is a lamp unto my feet so I can see where I'm going. A light unto my path so I can navigate through this world system. That's what the word of Yah, that's another benefit to doing the word of Yah. It will navigate you through this world system.
Mm-hmm.
it is a benefit to your life. You say, yeah, no, Aki? All right, we'll come back to you. Go ahead, Aki.
Gotcha. One more. Then we can go to Dan. It says, this is Proverbs 6:23. It says, for the commandment is a lamp.
Amen.
And the law is light.
Amen.
And reproofs of instruction are the way of life.
Mm-hmm.
So you understand what the word does for us.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us light.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it also corrects us.
Amen.
So when you get into the New Testament, when I think it's in Timothy, when he talks about the law is
right.
beneficial
That's
for
right.
reproof, correction,
That's
this,
right.
that, and another
That's right.
onto righteousness. You see where he gets this idea from.
That's right.
All right? This is something that was already saved.
That's right.
As 99.9% of the New Testament is. Something that was already saved.
That's right.
This is something that they came into a higher mm-hmm. knowledge of.
Mm-hmm.
It's a benefit for it.
That's right.
It became a benefit for them. All right?
Amen.
Daniel, you going to read out?
I want to find that one that you talked about in Timothy. In the
Timothy.
Yeah, let's read that so they can know. Definitely.
Okay.
Because that hits it on the head. What it is a benefit to your life. You go to school for 12 years, and some of us may go for 15 years. Wow. So you can have a better life. And we're not down in school. Yeah, go to school.
Uh-huh.
Definitely do that. Learn how to read and write. But have something that's going to benefit you in this life
uh-huh.
and the life to come. And that's the thing. That's the main benefit of the word of Yah. It's going to benefit you now, and it's going to benefit you to the life to come. Go ahead, Aki.
2 Timothy 3:16,
mm-hmm.
16-17.
Mm-hmm.
All scripture is given by inspiration of the mighty one and is profitable. In other words, it's a benefit.
That's right.
For
That's right.
doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of the Most High may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
That's right.
So you see where you get that idea from.
That's right.
Because he's just repeating something that was already said.
That's right.
He's bringing stuff back to mind.
That's right.
He's bringing,
That's right. That's right.
Remember the law. Remember.
That's
so
right.
he's repeating it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll understand and you'll never forget.
That's right. That's right. That's why we wear these Ezekiels. That's why when you go into Numbers 15:38-39, it talks about the red. These Ezekiels on the side with fringes
uh-huh.
on the four corners.
Four corners.
That's what it talks about. So you can look down at it and remember his law. Not just so we can wear them for fashion or look good in them. No, it's for that brother or that sister who know they should be keeping the law, and they look at those fringes, and the law be brought back to their mind, and it's for yourself.
Right.
So you catch you out there, you may be saying the wrong thing, you may be doing the wrong thing, and them fringes have to fly. You have to look down and see them, woo, and that law come back. And what the brother just read in Timothy, it was reproof. It corrected you.
It corrected you.
A benefit. Again, go ahead, Archie.
All right. This is the book of Daniel, chapter 1, starting at verse 5. Remember all his benefits.
That's right.
And the king appointed them a daily provision
mm-hmm.
of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank,
mm-hmm.
so nourishing them 3 years.
Let me give the people what's going on here. They have never read Daniel. This is when King Nebuchadnezzar, he took the Hebrews out of Israel, but out of Israel, he took the choice people. And Daniel and the brothers he just read, he going to read, will be considered of the choice. He took what he considered is the best of the stock of Israel. So he can teach them the ways of Babylon. But listen to what happened. And he gave provisions. Because you go up a little bit further, he gave provisions where, though, look, I'm going to feed y'all for 3 years. And the brother picking up from there. Go ahead, Aki.
He said, start over. And the king appointed them a daily provision
mm-hmm.
of the king's meat
mm-hmm.
and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself
Amen.
With the portion of the king's meat,
Amen.
Nor with the wine which he drank.
Amen.
Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself.
Amen.
Now Elohim had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs.
Let me get right there, Aki. If we follow the story, we listening. First thing that Daniel thought in his mind is, I'm not going to be defiled.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because in Leviticus, Leviticus 11, there's a dietary law. And Daniel understands that, hey, this king right here, he's a Gentile. And he ain't going to feed us according to the dietary law. So first of all, in his mind, hey, I will not defile myself. Why? Because he's keeping the father's dietary law.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, what happened? By him keeping the dietary law, another benefit came in. Yahweh made the captain have favor for Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel found grace, in other words, in his eyes. Why? Because he is keeping the father's law.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're keeping the father's law, the father's going to have everybody you come in contact with to be favorable to you. Whether they know you or not, it's because what he's doing for you, because you're being obedient to his law, statutes, and judgment. Daniel could have said, hey, we in captivity. Go ahead and give me that pork chop and saute that up. I'm going to go ahead and get down for these 3 years.
Okay.
But Daniel said, no, I will not defile myself with that. Go ahead, Aki.
I'm going to the New Testament in 10:14, and it's apostle on Peter. When but Peter said, and there came a voice to him, say, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord Master, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean.
Amen. Amen. And that's the story, the brother talking about the story in the book of Acts, where though Peter had a vision. The vision came down again three times. Just like that 3 years, but you know that's another story. We ain't gonna get into that. But that's that wisdom we was talking about earlier, that understanding. And she came down with all foul things. The scripture talks about Peter. He was perplexed. He didn't understand. But one thing he knew is I ain't eat nothing unclean since I was born,
uh-huh.
and I'm still not gonna eat nothing unclean.
Uh-huh.
Even if that was from you, Father, I'm not gonna do that right now.
That's right.
It makes you think and think about it, and that's New Testament. And
that's right.
Messiah was gone already, so he still was keeping that law.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Daniel 1:10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my master the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children that are of your sort?
Mm-hmm.
Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king.
Mm-hmm.
Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink.
Let me stop right there. Do you hear how Daniel is standing on the law? He's upholding the law. Because you have to hear the story. The captain, the one that sat over them, he never looked, man. The king going to see y'all in 3 years. Y'all going to look malnourished. Y'all ain't going to look right because y'all ain't been eating.
Right.
But Daniel said, prove us.
That's right.
Prove. Let me prove to you when I do things according to the law how you will come out.
Right.
Let me prove that to you. Prove your servant. And let me show you that I will look better than them who've been eating that king's meat.
Right.
I'm going to follow the king's dietary law, and I'm going to look better than them. Prove it. Prove the law. Go ahead, Aki.
Verse 13.
Then, isn't that what Yahweh says, though?
That's what he says.
Prove me.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us that. Prove it. That is for the brothers and sisters who are going through. Yahweh says, prove me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get weak at times.
Yes, we do.
And all he wants is us to prove him. Scripture says he will rain down blessings upon you out of heaven so much that your cup will run over. Your cup won't handle it. But we get fleshly at times. I got to say that. We get fleshly. And we take our eyes off of the Father. But he said, prove me and watch I bring you through. Watch you look better than everybody else out there if you just prove me.
That's right. No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee,
amen,
and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat.
Amen.
And as thou seest, deal with thy servants.
Hallelujah. Hear what Daniel said. Look, at the end of the 3 years,
10 days.
10 days? Okay, after the 10 days. Oh, judgment. That's the Ten Commandments right there.
10 days.
That's the Ten Commandments. When I'm following these Ten Commandments, watch my life and watch that one who do not follow them Ten Commandments and compare us there. Benefit to doing the Father's law. Watch my life after these 10 days or me keeping these Ten Commandments.
Right?
Let's see any other benefits. Let's go to Jonah. Okay, go ahead. Finish. I didn't know you wanted to finish. I keep it.
He said, verse 14. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their appearances appeared fairer. Now let's look at this word fairer in the Hebrew. It's the same word that when Yahweh said, and Yahweh created all these things, day one, he said, Tob.
Amen.
So this is the same word that he's using to describe the countenance of this man.
Ooh.
He says, Tob.
Amen.
And fatter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this word here is the same word. It's the second word in the very first verse of the book, Bereshit Bara.
Amen.
Now, why did he use this particular word to describe this person's countenance? Tov and Bara.
Mm.
Both of these words are found in the book of Genesis. That's their origins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why did he use that to describe the appearances of these men who followed his law, his commandments,
amen,
at the 10 days?
Amen. Hallelujah.
But let's keep on going. He says, at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Verse 16. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Last verse.
All right.
Verse 17.
All right.
As for these four children, Elohim gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding and all visions and dreams. Now, didn't we just read that?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Right.
You know, he told them that way.
If you do what I ask you to do.
Right.
That's what he said.
That's what he
said. If you do what I ask you to do, I'm going to give you that.
That's what he said.
Among the other nations.
And he wrote, and this came thousands of years after Moses said. Thousands of years after Moses said. Time has passed from the time when they were first taken out of Egypt to the time of this time when they were going into Babylonian captivity.
That's right.
Thousands of years have passed.
That's right.
So now
the benefits were still in.
They were still there.
You ain't had to. You ain't got to change your benefit.
What did Yahweh say?
You don't need a new benefit prayer.
Yahweh said, "What I have blessed is blessed. When I bless something, can't no man curse it?
No.
When I curse something, can't no man bless it?
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple.
That's right.
Whatever I say, go.
That's right.
That's all to it.
That's right.
So there are blessings still. If there was blessings there in the beginning from us following these things,
that's right.
Why aren't there blessings now?
That's right.
What happened?
That's right.
But everybody want to keep on howling about, I am the Lord and I have changed not. Okay, he changed not. Are you saying his blessings changed? What are you saying? You know, when you make that statement, if you're saying all these different things, okay, fine. If you change not, why don't we have to do these things that he say do?
That's right.
Because he commanded them to do it.
That's right.
It's foolishness for you to sit up here and say, now we don't have to do it, but you serve a God that don't change.
That's right. That's
Come on, right. What's going on? Make up your mind.
That's
you know,
right.
You're confused. That's why he says confusion of faith belongs to us.
That's
we
right.
don't know what we're doing.
That's right.
Yahweh knows exactly what he's doing.
That's
we
right.
don't know what we're doing. We're the ones in Babylon. We're the ones in the confusion.
That's right.
But Yahweh says, my eyes are not blind. My ear, I can still hear you. And my hand is not short
That's right.
to deliver.
That's
I
right.
got you.
That's
right. All you got to do is what I tell you. That's it.
That's it.
You know, but like you said, benefits.
Benefits. Let's go to Jonah 3. Read this whole chapter in Jonah 3. See what benefit is there to this. Book of Jonah.
Jonah 3:1. And the word of Yahweh came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city.
And Nineveh Gentiles?
Nineveh
Gentiles.
Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure. You know, because I don't know how Gentiles hear the word of Yah.
Mm-hmm. Way back when.
Way back when. Go ahead. So that's all I wanted to say on that one.
He said, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto.
I got to ask you, Jonah's a prophet of Israel, right?
Yes, Jonah.
Yahweh's telling him, the Father, the Creator, the Most High, is sending him to some Gentiles to preach what he told him to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just wanted to find that out.
Yeah, but, you know, that kind of goes with the whole thing that we read earlier. You know, that stranger, so as it is with you, so shall it be with that stranger.
That's right.
You know,
that's
since
right.
he sent his prophets to Israel, it's no, to me, it's no surprise that he would send his prophets to the Gentiles.
That's right.
So, you know, to me, you know, since he is no respecter of person or
right.
something like that,
right.
it's not strange to me that he would send his prophet to the Gentiles.
That's right. That's right.
You know, me personally, and the fact that he said that you're going down to this great city and tell them what I tell you to tell them.
That's right.
The same way that he told his prophets, go to Israel and tell them what
That's right.
You know.
So Jonah went in and said, thus saith Yahweh.
Jonah went in there and said, thus saith Yahweh.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
But that's a whole nother subject.
Yeah.
Verse 2. Arise, go on to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went on to Nineveh, according to the word of Yahweh. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed Elohim and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. Shut it down.
Right.
Nobody eating or drinking nothing.
That's right.
Nobody. I don't care. Don't even give your cows, your herds water. Stay fasting with us.
Right. You know what come to mind, our king. By the king doing that, by them hearing the word from Jonah, what the king now doing is seeking mercy from Yahweh.
That's what he did.
He's seeking mercy from Yahweh now. Hey, I had a relationship with you at one time. Your prophet came and he warned me and told me, if I don't get right, I don't repent, I'm going to get to destroy it. But what he did, he received the benefit from the Father. He received mercy. And him receiving mercy, his whole kingdom receives mercy. That's another benefit of the Father. You want his mercies? Keep his law, statutes, and judgments.
Right.
Go ahead, Aki.
The man of the Most High came and we read it. He said, I took off my kingly robes.
That's right.
I became just like one of the people.
That's right.
I put on sackcloth. I had ashes in my head.
That's right.
But let it be known, ain't nobody eating nothing. I'm fasting with y'all.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
At that time, it was unity within that one city.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody fasting, seeking the Most High. And the beautiful thing about this, it says, Jonah cried out.
Mm-hmm.
But they believe the Most High.
That's right.
What it says.
That's
they believe the Most High. So they understood where this word was coming from.
That's right.
You know, people understand
that. What did the scripture say? Believe Yahweh, you should prosper. Believe in Yahweh. I'm tearing it up, though. If we find it.
Chronicles 20:20.
And they believe this prophet.
Believe Yahweh, you be established. Believe his prophets, you'll prosper.
Amen. Amen. He got it. He just said it.
Throw down. Jonah 3:8. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto Elohim. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if Elohim will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And Elohim saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and Elohim repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not.
Friends, we got to hear the story, family. Their way and what they was doing was evil.
Uh-huh.
It may have been as simple as going to church on a Sunday. It's evil. It may be as simple as going to a stone and rubbing it at a certain time of year. It's evil.
Halloween just passed, y'all.
It's Halloween. We need to speak on that. We want to speak on the things that they think is not evil. They're taking your baby to this man in a robe, and he's getting some water out of a vase and pouring on his head and saying he just baptized the baby. It's evil. What we think is not evil in the Most High eye is evil. It's bowing down to this big statue with this big belly, and he's bowing, and you're saying hymns, and you're chanting to him. It's evil. And whatever these people was doing down in Nineveh was evil in the sight of Yahweh. And Yahweh was going to destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, hey, from the king on down, we need to turn back to his laws, statutes, and judgment so we can get the mercies of the Father. What does the scripture say? Showing mercy to thousands of those who keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Showing mercy to that. You want his mercy? You want him to overlook something? Not that he's going to overlook it. You want him to have mercy upon you when you fall? So a just man falls seven times, Yahweh upholds him by his right hand. You want to be upheld by the Father? Strive to walk in his laws, statutes, and judgment and his benefits. Go ahead, I. Was that it?
That was it.
All right, we got one more. Get the brother to read out of Maccabees. This one here, Maccabees, we're reading in 2 Maccabees, chapter 6. No, that's 4, Maccabees 4, chapter 16, chapter 6, verse 15, on down to 30. That's the another benefit.
It's 16:30.
And this is one of the benefits, is strength. I'm going to give it to you before we even read it. But this benefit is strength, even unto death.
4 Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 15. We will bring you some meat by yourself.
So let me give you what we're going on. One of the elders in Israel, one of the pillars in Israel, at this time, they was under the Grecian captivity right there, right? In Maccabees. That was,
yes.
the Grecian captivity. And they was under, Antiochus Epiphanes, who came in and tore down the temple and everything.
Oh.
And at this time, that they was persecuting the Israelites. And they pulled the elder out of the crowd, because in your spare time, go back and start from one and read all the way down where it goes. They pulled the elder out of the crowd. They didn't already beat him. They didn't already whip him. They didn't already did some harsh things to this man. Why? Because they want this man to eat some meat, some swine flesh. And he's holding on to what thus saith Yahweh. Go ahead, Archie.
Say, we will bring you some meat cooked by yourself. And do you save yourself by pretending that you have eaten swine's flesh?
See, and these two centurions, or whatever they was called, these gods who had them, they liked him. They liked him. They favored him. Why? Because he was up in age. He was, I think the scripture talks about he was 90, at least 80 to 90. And they wanted him to say, look, man, just you ain't even got to eat the real swine. You fix your own meat and act like it was swine. Just act like it was swine so you won't have to go through this persecution.
Uh-huh.
But listen to what the elder say, which could have did it, but listen to the strength that the elder shows for an example to the younger generation.
And Eleazar, as though the advice more painfully tortured him, cried out, let not us.
Hold on. Get and understand what he said. As though the advice, that hurted him more than what the people will do it for them. This is the elder saying.
Yep.
Man, you want me to sit here and fake like I'm eating some pork? But they were just flogging me and beating me. That hurt worse. Go ahead, Aki.
Who are children of Abraham, be so evil advised of as by giving way to make use of any unbecoming pretense. So basically saying, it's worse for me to sit up here and lie about this thing than to actually do the thing.
Right.
He says, verse 18, for it were irrational, if I had lived up to my old age in all truth and having scrupulously guarded our character for it, we should now turn back.
What is the brother saying that the word of Yah, the children of Abraham, should have? Integrity.
Uh-huh.
Keeping the law, statutes, and judgments will give you integrity.
That's right.
Talks about his character. I will not diminish my character for that. I will keep my integrity intact. How? By keeping his law, statutes, and judgments.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Aki.
He says, verse 19, and ourselves should become a pattern of impiety to the young. And let me start off, because you got to hear the whole thought from what he's saying. He said, let us now, who are children of Abraham, be so evil advised as by giving way to make use of an unbecoming pretense. For it were irrational if I had lived up to my old age in truth and having scrupulously guarded our character for it, we should now turn back, and ourselves should become a pattern of impiety to the young as eating an example of pollution eating. In other words, you want me to fake like I'm eating this wine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number one, I'm not a liar. That's number one, he said.
That's right.
I'm not a liar. I'm not one of these fake dudes. I'm not out here posing. But even more than that, my children going to see it.
Yes, man.
And I have to be an example for the young. What am I teaching them by doing this?
That's right.
That's what he's saying, isn't it?
Right.
He said, I've been guarding my character all these years. Now I'm an old man, and I'm a mess up now. No, I'm not flipping scripts. I'm not changing the script right now. I'm not doing that. And especially for these kids, what are we teaching these kids when we don't obey laws, statutes, and judgments of Yahweh?
That's right.
We are generation after generation after generation, as my brother so eloquently put it, criminals. We are career criminals. We are generational criminals. That's what we are. And every time that people go out here and not obey the laws of Yahweh, because he said in his Torah, thou shalt not bring false accusations.
That's right.
Thou shalt not accuse thy brother falsely. That's what he said. Thou shalt not cheat. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. All these things, this man said, I've guarded against. And now I'm going to teach these kids to do this. Now, in my old age, no, sir, I'm not doing it.
Oh, no.
But look what's going on now in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Look what's going on now in this world, because everybody covets.
Right.
Everybody cheats.
That's right.
Everybody's out there stealing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on in this world. And look at it.
Mm.
Just look at it. You know, we ain't even talking. I'm just talking about the 10 words. Why the 10?
Right.
Never mind all the rest that it encompasses. Just look at the 10. We can't even do those.
Right.
Can't even do those. And the world is just horrible off for it. Horribly off for it.
That's right.
He says, verse 20, it would be disgraceful if we should live on some short time and that scorned by all men for cowardness and be condemned by the tyrant for unmanliness, tending to the death for our divine law. I ain't no punk. That's what he said.
ain't no punk. I'm not going to punk out now. I'm in the old age. I'm not punking out now, and I'm not showing these kids how to be a punk. That's what he's saying. I'm not one of these effeminate men out here acting like a woman because they're cowards. I'm not one of them type dudes. Who do you think you're dealing with? I'm a son of Abraham, and every son of Abraham ought to be like that.
That's right.
I ain't no punk.
That's right.
That's what he's saying.
That's right, what he's saying. So you can't call me a coward.
That's right. You're a tyrant. So what, you bullying me? No problem. I ain't scared of you.
That's right.
That's what he's saying.
Take my life.
Take
my life. But I will not go against my father's law.
That's right. What did Jeremiah say? They locked Jeremiah up. Hey, we going, you go ahead and you do this here. Hey, well, whoa. I understand you're going to kill me. I understand you're going to beat me. I understand you're going to flog me. But guess what? Yahweh's word is Yahweh's word.
That's
and
right.
I'm telling you what Yahweh said. Now go ahead and do what you're going to do with. That's what he said. You know, because he is a son of Abraham.
That's right.
And Abraham wasn't no punk.
Dirty men.
Did he?
And beat them kings.
Said, oh, you got my nephew? Come on, let's go.
That's right.
I'm going to get him back.
That's right.
That's what he said. I believe Yahweh. I've sat there, and yeah, I got weak at times, and yeah, I got this, that, and another, but guess what? I believe Yahweh. It took 25 years to give me my child, but I believe you, Father.
Right.
I went down to Egypt, and yeah, I got a little shook, but guess what? I believe you, Father, and it was everything was given unto me.
That's right.
You know, at the end when he left, he said, look, Abraham, you got to get up out of here because you mightier than us.
Right.
They kicked him out. But no punk.
That's right. Wow. Because he had the mighty one of the universe on his
side. That's right. I'm not worried about
one of the universe was on his side. The man took his wife, Yahweh took and sent him a dream. You don't give him his wife back. I will kill you and the whole kingdom.
That's right. Restore unto him because he is a prophet.
That's right.
That's what he said.
Give his wife back. You too, Pharaoh.
That's right.
Give his wife back. That's
give it back to him. That's right. We got to remember that. He said, we ain't fighting these tyrants. He said, I should not contend to death before our divine law. That's what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting to keep this law. That's what I'm dying for. I ain't worrying about you.
That's right.
So in the New Testament, it says this way. Don't worry about the one who can kill your body, but
right.
Worry about the one that can kill your body and your soul. That's what he said. Don't worry about what these men can do to you, because whatever a man can do to you, you still have your soul.
That's right.
Yahweh will destroy the real you, your essence, your being.
That's right.
If you do not do his, fulfill his purpose, his divine law. That's what we ought to look for. That's the idea behind this.
That's right.
That's the idea behind this. But anyway, man, this story always gets me hyped. Full Maccabees, verse 22. Wherefore do you, O children of Abraham, die nobly for your religion?
Hallelujah.
You spare by us of the tyrant. Why do you linger? Kill me now. That's what he's saying. What you waiting for? I'm dying because I believe in the Most High.
Right.
Abraham, children of Abraham, die because you believe in the Most High. Tell him to stab you right now. What you waiting for, spear bearers?
That's right.
Chuck the spears. Throw them. Stab me, do what you want to do. That's what he's saying. Behold him so high-minded against misery and not changing at their pity. They led him to the fire. Then with their kindling contrived instruments, they burnt him on the fire and poured stinking fluids down into his nostrils. And he being at length burnt down to the bones, and about to expire, raised his eyes Godward, and you know, O Mighty One, that when I might have been saved, I am slain for the sake of the law
by torches of fire. Be merciful to your people and be satisfied with the punishment of me on their account. You hear what he said?
Oh, that's an elder.
That's an elder. He said, look, Heavenly Father, I could have got myself out of this. I could have lied. But I didn't because I love your law.
Amen.
So be satisfied, please. And have mercy on these people. Be satisfied with my death.
With my strength.
That's right.
I'm showing, Father.
Be satisfied with that and be merciful to your people. Please. He ain't even worrying about himself so much. Be merciful to these kids. Be merciful to these people. Be merciful for them. You understand what I'm saying? He's not worrying about himself that much.
He ain't worrying about himself at all. At all. If you read and heard the account, he's not worrying about himself at all. What he is standing on is the law and statutes of Yah. Why? Because I have ones looking at me. I have young ones looking at me. So take this, Father. Take this sacrifice, Father, and may it be well with the other one. I lay my life down for the other one. Why? Because I am an elder in this house.
That's right.
Integrity, good character, benefits of the laws of God, of Yah. Want to know why we still should be keeping it? The benefit of it. That's why. That was the end of it.
No.
Go ahead.
He said, you know, O Elohim, that when I might have been saved, I am slain for the sake of the law by torches of fire. Be merciful to your people and be satisfied with the punishment of me on their account. Let my blood be a purification for them and take my life and recompense for theirs. Don't that sound familiar? Thus speaking, the holy man departed, noble in his torments, and even to the agonies of death in his reasoning for the sake of the law. Confessedly, therefore, religious reasoning is master of the passions. Hear that? Confessedly, therefore, religious reasoning is master of the passions. You want to learn how to control yourself? Obey that Torah.
That's right.
Yet another benefit of it.
That's right.
It's master of the passion.
That's right. That's right.
Master it. For had the passion been superior to reasoning, I would have given them the witness of this master. See, this got Mashiach all over it. But For had the passions been superior to reason, I would have given them the witness of this mastery. But now, since reasoning conquered the passion, we befitly await it the authority of first place.
What we read in Deuteronomy 4, the wisdom and the understanding overruled his own passion. He allowed the wisdom and the understanding of the Torah to overrule his own passion.
In other words, not my will be done.
Amen.
But thy will be done, Abba. That's what he's saying.
That's right.
He says, but now, since reasoning conquered the passion, we befitly awarded it the authority of first place. What is the greatest law? Why is that first? Love Yahweh with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. If you do, and he says, love me, obey my commandments. First place in your life. It overrules your passion. It overrules it. It shows who has authority. Verse 34. And it is but fair that we should allow that the power belongs to reasoning, since it masters external miseries. Ridiculous would it be were it not so.
It matters external. Whatever you're going through,
right.
Rely on that law.
Rely
on God. Do not allow that to overtake you. Because if it overtakes you, what do you say? It is ridiculous.
Ridiculous would it be were it not so. And I prove that reasoning has not only mastered pains, but that it is also superior to the pleasures in which stands. And that's the end of that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It is a benefit for us to still keep the law, statutes, in judgment. Brother Mario is going to hit us with a closing scripture. It was in Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, Ecclesiastes 12:13-14.
And listen to this scripture, what Brother Solomon came to understand.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man.
Hallelujah. We want to thank y'all for joining us tonight. Pray for me you got something out of it. Pray for me that Abba have opened up your eyes to his word, that it is a benefit for your life. Anybody else got anything closing? We're going to close out with a prayer. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Put our revival. But hear now request for your Ruach came in tonight, Father. We thank you, Father, for the listeners, Father. We thank you for those who listen to it later, Father. We ask that you watch over the Kohanim, Father, your priest, Father, whom you have set up to be pillars in your nation. Yes, Ra'ah. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.